The Morning Struggle podcast is brought to you by Blue Clover Therapy, a mental health counseling practice in Salt Lake City, Utah. Visit www.blueclovertherapy.com for more information. Blue Clover Therapy, because your mental health deserves a specialist.
Activate.
Welcome to the Morning Struggle podcast, where we take habits of successful people and break them down one at a time into history, science, and action plan so you can implement them into your life and build a better you. Stay tuned. I'm crazy excited this morning. You wonder why?
Why?
Because I bought new shoes.
Yeah, you did.
I know. Look at me. Look at me. You can't see me because we're on podcast world, but I'm dancing. And I got my new red Pumas on. Mm-hmm. So whoever says money can't buy happiness obviously never bought a new set of red Puma race car driving shoes.
Yep, they're pretty cool.
I use them when I drive my race car. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't really know my sarcasm, I don't have a race car. I've got a broken down jalopy that the brakes don't work and I take to the racetrack and irresponsibly drive fast.
Yeah, you know what? You should probably fix those brakes.
I should probably. But I don't want to because I'm dangerous. Because I'm going to write a movie called Fast and the Furious Middle-Aged Drifter. And we're going to premiere it at all the high schools in 2002.
Oh, that's excellent.
It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Ty.
I'm Jesse.
And we bring you Habits of Successful People.
Yep.
And we're doing our next module, which is?
More than money.
More than money. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about success, it inevitably comes up that it's money-driven.
Right.
It's a very easy way to judge how you are doing successfully.
Well, yeah, you're comparing yourself to other people and there's an actual number.
Yeah. You know, like not everybody goes out there and has a success matrix on how happy they are, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
But money's easy. So we're going to go beyond money.
Yes.
And say, hey, you can be successful and be broke.
Yeah.
Or not be rich, but kind of not today, right? You got to at least have a little bit.
Well, that's the idea, is that money is security, right?
Right.
And so today specifically, we're going to talk about happiness, not necessarily with money, but also how money actually does support your happiness.
So we're just talking about happiness today.
Yeah.
So the reason you want money, the reason you want nice things, the reason you want to work hard is to be happy.
Well, you want to go on vacation, you want to hang out with your kids, you want to buy a fast car, you want to do it. Those kind of things bring joy within us, right?
Right.
But not necessarily security, not necessarily genuine happiness. Maybe it's just thrill. So we're going to tell you how to actually make it where money can support your happiness, but doesn't necessarily have to give you happiness.
So what does happiness actually mean? And then how do you go to achieving happiness?
Right.
All right, so you're going to tell everybody how to be happy
in
like 30 minutes?
Yeah, no problem.
Good luck. Well, let's start with history. Here we go.
This day in history.
All right, my history segment, I've got like, I don't know, a few. We'll
you
say
have like 20 pages there.
I've got 20 pages, but again, super big font. So there's like 3 words per page.
Oh, perfect.
But I'm going to talk about some of the biggest bargains in the history of the United States.
Oh.
And this is just showing you don't need a lot of money to buy essentially Alaska. You could just make it have a good deal. So you don't need to have millions of dollars. You just need to be in the right place at the right time.
I like it.
And then you could be happy. You ready?
Can I buy Alaska?
Is this
on the market?
No, this is history.
Oh, gosh.
You're too late to the party.
Oh,
get in line, my friend. All right. Manhattan. Manhattan was purchased from a Native American tribe. They don't really know. Maybe the Lenape or the Canada or Sea. I don't know how to pronounce that. But the governor of New Amsterdam in 1626 purchased Manhattan for approximately 60 guilders.
What is a guilder?
You don't know what a guilder? You don't use guilders anymore?
I don't know.
Oh, man. I've got like 100 guilders in the closet right now.
Oh, good.
I don't know what that is. But they purchased it for foods and goods worth that much, about $1,000 today. That's it.
$1,000. Uh-huh. Wow.
There's the urban legend or the apocryphal thing that's $24 in beads, you know, they purchased from the Native American tribe. They think it's about $1,000.
Yeah.
Which at the time, I mean, it's just an island out there. Deserted. No big deal.
It's $1,000.
Yep. So
$1,000.
Next one. Oh my gosh. You ready? Oh, this is your Alaska. We bought Alaska from the Russian Empire in 1867 for $7.2 million.
Whoa.
And you say, like, that's a lot of money back then, but not really. 2 cents an acre.
Oh, really?
It's 586,000 square miles. It became our largest state, but at the time, people were saying, this is Seward's folly. It was Secretary of State William Seward. Mm-hmm. Or Johnson's polar bear garden for President Andrew Johnson.
Wow, that's mean.
Yeah. And we have done very well with Alaska. It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
It has cruise ships.
Yeah.
And we pillage it for its natural resources. So
yeah, we are stripping all of those right out of there.
Take that, Russia.
Yes.
The next one, the Louisiana Purchase. So did you know the Louisiana Purchase was named for actually King Louis XIV?
What? Really?
Yeah. So the explorer named it after King Louis XIV. Aww. And it actually is not just Louisiana. I think most of you know that. But did you know it went from the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains and from the Gulf of Mexico to Canada? So it's a little bit bigger than Louisiana.
That's huge.
Yeah. This was an 1803 deal. Napoleon sold it to us for $11.25 million and cancellation of about $3.75 million in French debts.
Whoa.
He wanted to finance his invasion of England.
Oh.
He never did. Then he tried to invade Russia, and then he died miserably in exile.
Yeah, don't invade Russia.
So the next one.
Yeah.
This next one is just, hey, you know what? When someone comes to you with an opportunity, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Okay.
And you got to look deeper than the surface. A book is never judged by its cover.
Oh,
and you never cross the street on Sundays in the rain. Whatever you're saying. Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
You know what Reese's Pieces are, right?
Yeah.
The little candies.
They're delicious.
They're peanut butter they're essentially a knockoff M&M with peanut butter, right?
Yes.
Well, did you know you probably would never have heard of Reese's Pieces? If Mars M&M candies weren't so stuck up. So in 1982, Hollywood, the producers of E.T., the movie.
Yes.
Probably one of the best movies ever and was the highest grossing film for decades, right?
It was scary as a kid. Did you ever watch it?
Yeah, it's super scary.
Yeah, it scared me as a child.
It has like deep life lessons in it too. It really matured us.
There's a lot of movies in our era that were scary.
Yeah. But anyway, so they came to M&M's or Mars, and Mars said they don't want their candy in this movie. Because remember, E.T. has the little...
Yeah, and he follows
the trail of candies. They wanted him to be M&M's. Mars said, no, E.T.'s too ugly. Elitist Mars candy bars.
That's harsh.
So they went to their competitor Hershey, and Hershey says, we've got these Reese's Pieces. They said, okay, great. Can we use them? They said, yes. They didn't even need to pay for product placement. They just were allowed to put their product in the movie.
That's because M&M's poo-pooed it.
It became the hottest selling candy of that year.
What?
And, you know, probably of all time. Not really all time, but, you know, it really helped them out.
It did okay. That's okay.
All right. Ready for, we just got a few more.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
So do you know who a person named Babe Ruth?
Who's that now?
He's a baseball player.
I think it's a candy bar.
He signed a baseball in the movie called The Sandlot. So the Red Sox sold or traded Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees for $100,000 and a $350,000 loan, which the owner of the Red Sox, Harry Frazee, used to finance his Broadway dreams.
Oh, that's an interesting side story.
Didn't really pan out on either end.
Yeah.
The Yankees went on to win 27 World Series in the next 8 decades, and the Sox did not win a World Series until 2004 because of the curse of the Great Bambino.
Yeah, it's the curse of the Great Bambino.
They stopped that. Have you seen Moneyball?
Yeah, I was like,
so,
all of these movies that everyone has to go watch real quick.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Tom Brady. We just got a few more. I'm throwing pages all over the place.
Tell me about Tom Brady, please.
Tom Brady, probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, have you seen his wife?
Yeah, I know. Just the great person of all time. He's not human. He can't be human.
Oh, there's no way.
So Tom Brady, this was back in 2000. The NFL scouts didn't think he was going to amount to much. He was graduating University of Michigan, and he wasn't drafted in the NFL until the 6th round.
No kidding.
199th player.
Oh, geez.
Yep. And...
Wait, how old is Tom Brady?
Oh, he's got to be in his 40s.
And
he's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. He's literally so good that he leaves the team that he got 6 or whatever, you know, Super Bowl wins for.
Yeah.
And then goes to another kind of fledgling team. They're pretty good, you know, but middle ground team. And he wins the Super Bowl again with him. He's like 40 years old.
Do you think they've cloned him yet?
If they haven't, they should. And I want to be that clone. But 6 other quarterbacks were drafted ahead of him.
Tom Brady.
And one of them didn't even play a single NFL game. And Brady has started more games and thrown more touchdowns in his career than all other 6 combined. Take that, NFL 6-round pick. All right, we got just a couple more. Where are we out on time? Oh, right. We're okay. We're okay. And everybody loves my history segments so much. They're I always so get all good. These emails that are like, I wish your history segments were 2 minutes more. That never happens. All right, 1989, uh-huh. Philadelphia man bought an old painting for $4 at a flea market.
Okay.
He liked the frame. Then he didn't have very good taste in frames because the frame fell apart. And behind the frame was one of the original copies of the Declaration of Independence.
No kidding.
One of the first, so there's 500 original copies.
Yeah.
That was one of them. And it sold for $2.4 million.
Whoa.
In auction. So here's the thing. If you ever find like a colonial table or a piece of junk kind of thing in a flea market, you just buy it. You don't even care. You don't research it. You mm-hmm. buy it. And you then you rent a warehouse to store all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get the Antiques Roadshow to come by and then go through your stuff to make sure you don't have the Declaration of Independence.
Just in case. You never know.
Yep. All right. You ready? Last one is Superman.
What? Superman?
He's probably...
We bought Superman?
He's probably one of the most famous... we didn't buy it. Unless... Are you a DC heiress that I didn't know about?
Oh, yeah.
You don't even need a prenup because you're just hiding it from me.
Exactly.
That is exactly. Super smart. Mm-hmm. More than money. All right, here we go. Superman comic book. It was created by two high school students, Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster.
Right.
In 1933. And they try to sell it because you know, that's what you do. You create a comic book character and then you try to get it produced because you don't have any money to make your own comic book company.
Right.
Right? Well, no comic book companies wanted it.
They
thought it was stupid.
Aww.
1938, Detective Comics, later DC Comics,
ooh,
bought it for $130.
Oh.
No, 1933, that's a little bit of money.
It's not.
But it's
not then either.
It's really not. I mean, I'm guessing that's $1 billion industry. For Superman.
To be like, yeah, I'll give you $10 for that character. Great.
But did you know that $130 check was so famous that the check itself, the physical check, sold at auction for $160,000?
Oh, no kidding.
So, but yeah, there you go. That's it. That's all I got for history.
That's amazing.
So those are some bargains. So get out there, find your next Alaska. Ask your uncle for $7.2 million so you can buy it. So you don't need money. You just need rich uncles.
Exactly.
And
then they give you the money and then you purchase Alaska.
Or new red pumas.
Or red
pumas. See? And then one day it all works out for you.
Exactly. Right? Like 300 years later.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's figure out how to be happy beyond all of this junk. But let's figure out the actual science behind happiness. What makes us happy? If there's some financial monikers and benchmarks that really affect that or not,
mm-hmm.
and where we go.
Like it. You just whispered go with me?
I just whispered go.
That's
great. We had to be quiet during the song. They're in the science song about the NASA astronauts. That's not how it goes. You're not even listening to what we are to say. All right, take us through some science.
Okay, so 52% of us feel like we're financially insecure.
So what does financially insecure mean?
Financially insecure means that we can't really make our rent, our food, our car payments, everything in a month's time.
So we're just like paycheck to paycheck. We don't know where the next dollar is coming from. We kind of know where it's coming from, but we don't know if we're going to have that next dollar to pay bills.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of the times, the financial insecurity piece of that is that we don't actually know our finances. We haven't really sat down and had a discussion with anybody.
Oh, so some of us might make good money, but we just don't really care to know what that money's doing.
Yeah. Like we might be buying a lot of dresses, but we have no idea how much we actually have to spend on dresses.
And that's why credit card debt comes into play.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it kind of, it doesn't necessarily mean we don't have the money. It means that we feel that way.
So half of us feel that way.
Yes, half of us. So the problem with that is that we get negative emotions about money itself. And as that occurs, we feel because our animal body feels like we're being attacked.
Okay, so we're going to that fight, flight, freeze response.
Yes.
With something as mundane as an imaginary currency for barter.
Well, and that's the thing is within our society, money matters.
It really does. I joke, but it does.
No, and so it is a survival piece of that. We don't do a lot of fighting other people, that kind of thing. But if we have money, then we can eat.
Right.
And we have a place to be. And so it plays on that mechanism of survival. And what happens, so the blood flow and electrical activity are reduced in the frontal and the prefrontal lobes of our brain.
Okay.
Okay. And then the blood flow and electrical activity actually increases in the parts of our brain like the amygdala. And as you know, the amygdala is that fight, flight, freeze in which we are being chased by a bear.
So we don't think rationally anymore. We just act on impulse.
Yeah. We're moving on our emotions and we're not thinking through anything. And here's the thing. Even if you have a budget, even if you've planned things, if you feel like you're surviving with money, you forget that budget. It just doesn't exist to your brain.
Okay.
Because you're in a survival mechanism, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that obviously, for obvious reasons, is a bad way to go about your financial business.
You probably got high cortisol levels and your brain's inflamed at that point.
Yeah. Well, and then it long term, if your brain is inflamed, then it reduces the amount of activity long term that you can do in your prefrontal and frontal cortex.
Okay.
So decision making in general goes completely south. It's really hard. And then we try to medicate ourselves with different things, whether we're purchasing things, alcohol, drugs, sex, all these different things to try to make ourselves feel better because we, again, are moving on emotion.
Okay. All right. So let's bring back rational thought.
Yeah. We got to bring
how do we do that though?
Well,
action plan. I always jump ahead.
Stop. Slow down.
Keep going
on
science.
So Princeton actually found that there is a number of money that we make that makes us feel okay.
So there's an amount of money that we can make per year that makes us feel secure and happy.
Yeah. And this is 2010. So you're going to have to like talk inflation.
Adjusted for inflation in 2010, we're probably looking at like 1.25. So, all right, let's hear.
So you get happier the more money that you make.
That's like a obvious statement.
Yeah, that's an obvious statement. Until...
Wait, what? There's an until?
Uh-huh.
All right.
You get to $75,000 a year.
$75,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So just for inflation. Actually, inflation hasn't been, like I said, that much. So we're talking maybe $80,000, $90,000 a year.
Yeah. So when you get to that point, it actually levels out and then goes down.
So it's a plateau effect.
Yeah, it's a plateau effect.
Okay.
Okay. So...
Wait, it goes down?
It can go down.
What? What if you're... So if you're like a billionaire, you're like the saddest person in the world?
Could be.
Okay.
Kind of depends.
All right.
Every past that point, it's harder to research because then...
Maybe it's not based on monetary gains at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to have other staples in there.
Once you get there, you got to get other things to make you happy.
Right.
Okay.
So what they're thinking is happening is that it's the hedonic adaptation.
Okay.
Is that right?
Hedonic treadmill that people call it hedonic treadmill.
Yeah. So over time, we get used to the changes that happen in our life. So as we make more money, up to about that 75, probably 80, 90 now, we get bigger houses, we get faster cars, whatever.
Right.
We get more things, right?
Right.
And we tend to get happy when we buy new things because we get excited, dopamine releases. It's a happy time, right?
Right.
But past that point, unless you're making like, you go from 80 a year to like billions a year, there's not a lot of things in between that you're going to be purchasing. Like your vacations might get more elaborate. Your house might get, I don't know, a maid.
Sure. Okay.
I don't know what happens in the fancy middle ground there.
I don't know what happens in the upper class, but
that's amazing.
All right.
You get used to all these changes. And so there's not a lot of dopamine that gets released past that.
Okay. So at some point, like you get everything, your basic essentials met.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a little bit of security. So you're out of fight, flight, freeze.
Yep.
But then you just kind of get this like adaptive behavior where you're like, oh man, my maid didn't clean my pool to my liking this week. And you just kind of embarrassed. You're just like, oh, I don't care.
Clean pools.
Yeah.
Like, you have a pool boy for that. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Now.
Not a maid.
Yeah. It's like,
jeez, stay in your scope. Stay in your lane, bro. All right, here we go.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. Money can buy happiness, and I'm going to tell you how.
It can buy happiness.
Absolutely, it can.
Oh, it can. All right, let's hear it.
What's the joke? It's like money can buy a jet ski.
Money can't buy happiness, but money can buy a jet ski.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, but really, statistically and researched pieces of this is that it can buy extra time.
Okay.
So when you're buying things that free up your time, that makes us feel happier and we get to enrich our lives otherwise. So the examples of this would be like takeout, getting your home cleaned, by the way, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Outsourcing different services to other people. So like you have someone pick up your dry cleaning, you have an assistant that answers phone calls, that kind of stuff. It really does increase our life satisfaction.
Okay.
So extra time is very important that way.
So if you have enough to purchase extra time.
Yeah. Next is social, within social constructs. So the University of Chicago found that if you have five or more close friends or people that you could reach out to if you needed to, you're about 50% happier
Okay.
Than the Makes average sense. Person.
Right. You have good relationships.
Yeah.
You can purchase these relationships?
I guess you could.
I don't know. Sorry,
I don't know. It didn't talk about purchasing friends. It just said close friends.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it really does depend on the people that we surround ourselves with and how much we actually enjoy them. Because if we're spending money on someone else or somebody that we care about, if we're spending money on experiences, especially if we have some close people with us, and if we're purchasing gifts for other people, like genuine gifts, not like socially obligated gifts.
You're
like
not bribing
Christmas.
People to be your friend.
Yeah. It's like, I saw this plant. I thought of you. Here's this.
Okay.
That makes you happy.
Okay.
Okay. So within the social constructs, you can do that and you can purchase things. And it does seem to be surrounded around your experiences.
And if you have the money, you can purchase those experiences or those thoughtful gifts for mm-hmm. people. If you don't have the money, you just can't do that. You don't have the time and you don't have the resources.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And then the last thing is what we surround ourselves with. So I thought this was really interesting because it's part of this keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, the Joneses.
Oh my gosh.
They're our next door neighbors and they are so smug.
Oh, no, they are not smug. They're the most down-to-earth people in the world.
I was flashing their family dinners and their family game nights at our faces.
And they're smiling.
Yeah.
They smile so much.
Yeah, my kids had to make do by eating cereal off the kitchen floor last night because I couldn't make dinner because I was too busy, but whatever. Don't judge me. Joneses.
Joneses. All
right, keep going.
So if we surround ourselves with people who have higher incomes.
Okay.
And that flaunt those higher incomes. And the flaunting is specific because they might not actually make more money than you, but if they're shelling out lots of money with the intent of making you jealous.
Okay.
Because a thoughtful gift or a thoughtful experience with somebody is way different than being like, oh, I got this. This is so, here's my flashy watch.
Gotcha.
And that's a completely different thing. So if they're trying to impress you or make you feel bad, and you surround yourself with those people, you're never going to feel good enough. You're never going to make enough money. And then you're going to spend all your resources trying to keep up with them. And it's going to deteriorate your mental health. And then we move back into survival mode, no matter how much money we make.
So you could make millions of dollars a year, mm-hmm. but that person and you, let's say you can't afford a private jet.
Yep.
And that neighbor who's got the private jet and it's all fancy, you're going to be unhappy that you have to fly first class on Delta.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What about me is flying in the back of the plane? Or worse, just driving because I can't afford a plane ticket.
Driving's not awful. It's a road trip.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like, you and I awful. Live in different worlds. Okay, but that makes sense. So it doesn't matter how much you have. You can't compare yourself to the Joneses.
No, and you really need to surround yourself with genuine people.
Okay.
And then really sink into that where you are with them and you enjoy them, not because of their money or your money or that kind of thing. It's about the actually being bonded with that other person.
So your money can buy you experiences and time.
Yep.
Don't worry about anything else. The other stuff is just noise.
Yep, exactly.
All right, perfect. Well, let's get into a quick coffee segment. Okay. And then let's talk about action plan and tell people how to become the Joneses, essentially, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
So I procrastinated, and I did not come up with a coffee segment this morning, but you...
I did.
Saved the day.
I'm pretty amazing.
Here she is, Jessie with her coffee segment.
Yeah. So this sounds amazing, and I feel like we need to go take a trip to Los Angeles, and it's Dinosaur Coffee.
Dinosaur Coffee uh-huh. in Los Angeles. What tell me about Dinosaur Coffee.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yep.
They have a contest, uh-huh. although I couldn't find an updated version of this.
Okay.
So this is a little dated.
Okay.
But it is the world's worst coffee competition.
World's worst coffee competition. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Tell me all about this.
So what they've set up here is that they get all of these people who are fantastic baristas, by the way. Like, they all own their own coffee shops.
Right.
Like, it's amazing.
They're artisans,
yeah. Like, really amazing coffee, right? And then they get to dress up in a costume, which,
okay.
you know, I think would be great.
All right, yeah.
Okay, and then they make the world's worst cup of coffee, and they have to serve it to these judges, and these judges have to drink some of it.
What?
And that's awesome. Amazing. And then they get to win, and they get a silver spoon that says, I'm the worst.
So it's just, it's a party.
It's a party.
It's a party. I love it. Amazing. What year was this happen?
So this particular
it doesn't matter. We need to invent a time machine so we can go back in time. Well, premiere the Fast and Furious Middle-Aged Drifter.
Excellent, yes.
And go to this competition.
Yeah.
Maybe they still have it.
Well, and I think, you know, with the pandemic, it messed up a lot of different things.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that it comes back this next year. They do it every March. They were doing it every March.
What's the company called again? Where's the place?
Dinosaur Coffee.
Dinosaur Coffee.
Yeah. And it's in L.A.
It's in L.A.
I think they open up another shop, but I don't know specifically which. Where that one is located. But my favorite is there's a coffee guy who he owns his own coffee shop, and he's a big deal. I don't know anybody's names, but he's a big deal. And he dressed up like a stray cat named Pocket.
A stray cat named Pocket.
Yeah, and he made so it's coffee grounds and catnip.
That sounds disgusting.
Doesn't that sound disgusting?
Did he win?
He did not win. There's another guy.
Wait, maybe catnip's really good in coffee. You should try.
I really don't think it is. But the guy who won dressed up as like a wizard, I think is what he is.
Okay.
I don't know. And he took old cheese and he put it in coffee.
That'll do it.
And it cleared out the place. they were like gross. So he won.
He won.
Yep.
And so it has to be edible, I'm guessing. And
it has
to
be slightly.
Not kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't murder your judges.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh. it was definitely amazing. So we're gonna go to it.
All right. Well, let's stop here. We're gonna go into the action plan.
Yep.
And there's a ruckus. You can hear in the background. There's a ruckus
it's
going
not an earthquake,
on.
Earthquake. It's a cat.
Yeah. This cat. We got to do something. If anybody out there has an idea of what to do with a cat when you want some peace and quiet, let us know, because we don't see this cat for like days, and then all of a sudden you need to type something on your computer and it's like, oh, I know how to type, and she'll come over and like type on your keyboard. You're like, oh, we're gonna record a podcast, and she'll jump on the table and like start dancing.
Yeah, you know what's really frustrating is when she goes into other people's houses.
And she goes into other people's houses.
Yeah, and then like
at 1
like,
in the morning, we gotta find her.
I know, so, it's
anyway,
ridiculous.
All right, way off topic. We're getting back onto happiness. We're getting back onto how to tie in your happiness.
Yep. And Dinosaur Coffee.
Non-financially, Dinosaur Coffee, action plan, ready, set, go.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, so first things first.
Let's hear it.
I know I'm a broken record. Self-assessment.
You're going to do a self-assessment. So here, you just know you want to do a self-assessment and you want to get your cortisol levels down. If you talk to Jesse about anything, you're like, I'm going to the grocery store. What do you want me to get? She's like, a self-assessment and lower levels of cortisol.
It's pretty much,
it's
I need a
guarantee.
T-shirt that says
it's
that.
It's a guarantee. But that's what you got to do.
Yep.
First and foremost, assess.
Well, and specifically about your emotions around money.
Okay.
Because if you're making a lot of emotional financial decisions, that's a problem.
Right.
And we need to curb that a little bit. So you have to be honest with yourself about what you're actually doing. If you have a budget, are you even hitting the budget? And if you're not hitting the budget, is that based on rational, like my rent is higher than I thought? Or is it emotional, being like, I'm self-soothing by buying purses?
And red Puma shoes, okay.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Pay attention if you're buying new things to feel better, specifically for that dopamine rush.
So you're on that hedonic treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Just see if you're actually on it and if those purchases are for a chemical response in your brain or a necessity or even a desire or want, but to buy you time or experience.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, because experiences, again, social and experiences, that's a great hedonic purchase.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Because you're going to, it has longevity.
You get the dopamine response, but there's a reason behind it.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're buying a lot of Puma shoes suddenly, mm-hmm. that's probably a problem because you're going to get used to those shoes at some point.
It's true, but I experience a lot of life in my Pumas, but let's keep going.
You really do.
I do.
You really do. We pay attention if you're chasing the wrong happy.
What's the wrong versus right happy?
So if we are looking just to get to the next financial, I want to say barrier, that's not.
Level.
To the next financial level. Or if we find ourselves trying to appease to a social, a certain social group.
Okay.
So if I'm spending more money because I go out with my girlfriends and we buy really expensive dinners, when normally I wouldn't really do that.
Maybe it's the wrong kind of happiness you're searching.
Yeah. Okay. So we're understanding our views of money and our current money standing in a very rational way.
Right.
We're trying to separate the emotional and the rational piece. And I dance my hands because I want you to take a notebook, essentially, cut it down the middle, and write out both of these things.
Okay.
Because then you can physically see it. There's something about actually handwriting something about our emotional or rational and paying attention to that.
So you're gonna do your self-assessment, you're gonna make a little T-chart mm-hmm. and have emotional, rational, and you're gonna talk about purchases on both sides of that spectrum.
Right.
Okay.
And then we're going to actually have a budget.
Actually have a budget.
And I hate having budgets, let me tell you. But whoever is part of your budget, you need to sit down and take your T-chart, right? Mm-hmm. And look at the rational elements of that and actually construct the idea of what that's going to be. Okay, but then after you do the budget, I want you to sit down with this other person, because they're, if you have another person, right?
Yep.
And what happiness would actually look like to you? What experiences could you purchase? Is there something as far as like spending money to have more time? That kind of thing.
Right.
Because money can buy happiness in those ways.
So the budget is less about cutting things out of your life and more about making sure your purchases buy you those things that are important.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so really focusing in, and these are the four things that I want, write it down. So extra time, whatever gives you extra time.
Buy extra time.
Experiences.
Buy experiences.
Spending it with someone else or someone you care about. So time with another human.
Buy relationships.
Yep. And then buying things for other people, like thoughtful gifts, but it has to be actually well thought out.
Giving.
Yep.
Giving.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. Those are the four things.
Yep.
And then you're done. And then you'll be happy regardless.
And everything works out.
And everything works out.
Well, and that's the thing is, as you go through life, you're going to have these experiences. You're going to have these social interactions that you can fall back on when things are hard. Because things are not going to be perfect all the time.
You don't remember the material goods. You remember those experiences. You remember those relationships. And those are the things that you miss the most. You know, those are the things that you cherish the most at the end.
Yeah.
So why not know what that is and do it now?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So it's that easy. So self-assessment, make your T-chart of your rational versus emotional purchases.
Yep.
Do your budget, not for cutting out money or saving money, but for determining if you're purchasing the right things, which are the four things again?
It's extra time.
Time.
Experiences. Spending it with other people.
Relationships.
And buying things for other people. Thoughtful
giving.
Things. Giving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you do those four, you do those things on your action plan.
Uh-huh.
And then hopefully you can start having a better relationship with money and understanding what money can actually do and what its actual purpose is. So that's all we got.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us. Episode 2 of this module. We're going to do 4 more than money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go on. We're going to do relationships.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do other things that we haven't thought of yet.
It's so amazing. It's going to be great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate all the support. We hope you're building. We're trying to build. So let's all together go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.